Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Boy. All right. Thank you, Dave. Are you working Monday or not?
Yeah, I'll be here Monday morning.
Well, then we will reconvene on Monday.
I look forward to it.
And I hope you have
it.
A great weekend.
You too.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to it as well. On
Opa!
A lighter note, Ian McDonald. Opa, here you go. And matter of fact, Dave, hang on. Let me get clarification from Ian McNulty on this.
Don't go there.
Dave, I was under the impression it was Oprah that people were yelling, and much like Marco Polo, the people would answer Winfrey. And now Dave tells me that's not true.
Well, you see, fellas, it really depends on how much ouzo you
that's
have.
That's what I was going to say. You have enough ouzo, then you're playing the Oprah Winfrey game, yeah.
You know, years ago, tell you this, I had an idea when Marcus Colston was playing that one half of the dome would yell Marcus and the other half would yell Colston when he caught a ball. It'd be like Marco Polo, but Marcus Colston. And it never did really catch on, and now I don't think it's gonna.
probably not. Since he's not gonna be catching any more balls, man.
Yeah, you think that ship may have sailed on that one or not?
I think you have a chance for his Hall of Fame induction, you know, for the Saints Hall of Fame induction, which he certainly will be part of.
That's what we love about Ian McNulty.
No, I think he's already
ever
in the Saints
original.
Hall of Fame.
What's
I think that ship sailed also. He's already
Dave,
in the
just
Saints
go,
Hall of
go
Fame.
Do whatever you got to do. Don't
I'm not
going
to rain on your
just
fun.
Go.
At least
just,
it won't
no,
rain on Greek
leave.
Fest.
Just,
we know that.
Yes. Tell us about Greek. That's right. It won't. And it's delightful outside right now. Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining for NOLA.com, 504-260-1870. If you have any questions about eating or drinking, how you been, Ian?
Oh, man, Tommy, I've been good. It's good to hear your voice again. It's always means it's if I'm talking to you, it's Friday. That means we made it. You know, we all did. We made it. And we've got a weekend ahead and hopefully some time to be good to ourselves and to each other and you know, do some New Orleans culture and hospitality, you know, the stuff that gets us, the stuff that keeps us glued together in these days.
Amen.
So.
I want to ask you about Greek Fest because you are the wordsmith and I've been, but you describe things so eloquently. For people that have never been, describe what's waiting for them.
Well, what you're going to do is just belly flop into the embrace of New Orleans Greek hospitality. I mean, that's what it is. This is one of the ultimate examples of a festival that that sums up a community. You know, you go to some festivals and it's all about, you know, one type of dish or the type of music or the neighborhood or just the time of year, the harvest. And that's great. That's fun. This is a festival about the joy and community of these people who share a bond through their Greek heritage or enthusiasts who get into it, too. And, of course, that plays out through food as a major, major part of it. Great drinks also. You know, there's the folk music. And there's just the setting. It's at the cathedral near the end of Bayou St. John there in Lakeview.
St. Bernard.
Lakeview and Gentilly on Allen Toussaint Boulevard. And it is just a gorgeous setting. You get a gentle breeze off the bayou usually, and everybody comes out, and it's truly one of those you're Greek for a day kind of things. You know, you see people wearing togas who have not done that since they pledged Delta Delta Delta. You know, and they've got lamb everywhere. They've got all the homemade desserts, the baklava, of course, and it truly is a community thing because members of the church community get together and spend months doing the prep on this stuff. And, you know, they have designated teams, you know, who's doing the lamb and who's doing the desserts and who's in charge of the bars. And like I say, that is, as soon as you walk through the gates, you feel like you are being hosted by this community. And that's the wonderful thing about these kind of small local festivals. You know, I don't know too many people who book travel to come to New Orleans for Greek Fest, but I know plenty of people around New Orleans who have it circled on their calendar every year is what they do for Memorial Day weekend. And after all the stuff, right, of the last 2+ years, the community kept it going in different ways with like drive-through events and, you know, pick up plates of food and that kind of thing. But this is its return in its full glory.
I tell you, it's one of my favorite festivals to go to. It really is. And as you say that about the community, I remember last time I went, I saw somebody that I hadn't seen in 20 years. And that's the other thing about New Orleans festivals that are so good. You don't realize it until you're there. And then you see, hey, wait a minute. That's what's his name from wherever. And I hadn't seen them in so long. I'm sure that happens to you all the time.
Oh, sure. That's one of the great things about New Orleans, right, is that these unscripted moments. And frankly, one of the things that we really missed when, you know, the coronavirus safety protocols were keeping us apart. It was just that unscripted, random friendliness of sharing a city and sharing a culture and going out and practicing that culture together. And that's what you're doing when you go out to these events and see people and interact and have a good time.
What is ouzo? I don't know if I've ever had it or not.
You know, all around the Mediterranean, it seems like every culture has a liqueur that kind of tastes similar. It's got that bitter flavor to it, and it's it's a spirit. It's strong, right. And it's the kind of thing that you'd have after dinner, typically, or if it's a celebration time, anytime you want it to. So it's got that anise flavor that you'd find in certain, you know, Italian liqueurs, or in different versions of it crop up, but it is without doubt the Greek signature toast.
So it would be a little bit like, not Jägermeister, right? Or yes?
No, not like
it's
Jägermeister.
Clear. It's not like, yeah.
Think of Sambuca. You know, if you've been to an Italian wedding, somebody of a certain generation may force the Sambuca. That's the same kind of deal.
What's your favorite thing to eat at Greek Fest?
The lamb, no doubt about it. That's the marquee dish. That's the thing that that they put a lot of passion into and prep. And it's a special dish. It's not the kind of dish that it's the kind of dish you would get if you were invited over to a Greek, a big fat Greek wedding, or a Greek wedding of any size and shape.
Let me talk about, let me get to the audience first. Somebody texted in, ask Ian to rate the steak restaurants in the city. Haven't heard his take on them.
Ooh, take on steak? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we have talked about this fairly recently, and the way I look at it is I divide it up into categories. You know, there's certain types of places I want to go to for certain kinds of steaks, and like certain kind of steak experiences. So if I want the classic New Orleans steakhouse, and you know what that is, right? It's a big slab of meat sizzling on the platter with a lot of character and atmosphere to go along with the sides. You know, that's Crescent City Steakhouse. That's Charlie's Steakhouse, which was, you know, brought back to life by a new crew who are doing a great job there. If I want that just classic American steakhouse kind of thing, I'm thinking of Mr. John's. I'm thinking of Desi Vega. The two are related. They share some ownership there through said Desi Vega, the restaurateur. And then, you know, there's another style. Oh, and I would put Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse in that category too. And then there's another style that's more your specialty steakhouse, where it kind of dials into this other, you know, this is a specialized niche in the world of meat. La Boca is a great example of that, because that's an Argentine-style steakhouse. So you're getting different cuts than you would get from your T-bone, your standard sirloin, that kind of thing. Doris Metropolitan, the French Quarter, another great example of that. They actually bring more of a Mediterranean edge to it. So really good, different different take on a familiar pleasure. And here's a new one for you. This is a little bit of a twist. Piece of Meat is a butcher shop in Mid-City that recently reconfigured to become a steakhouse. And they're doing fantastic things there. Really small menu, but really, really good.
Let me get your opinion on this, Ian, and I want the audience to weigh in on this at 504-260-1870. The best way to grill a steak, do you sear it in a pan and then finish it off in the oven, or do you cook it outside on a grill? If you had your druthers, what would you pick?
Best way to cook a steak, for me, is to hand it over to somebody else who's going to be a real pro at it.
All right, well, then the best, how would you prefer that it be prepared then?
Okay, fair enough. I just got to give credit to the pros out there who truly have mastered this. But no, I know people take it very seriously in their home kitchens too. And yeah, that's basically what you want to do. You want to get it cooked to a certain point, and then you want that the inside to just be seared and captured. You almost want two different textures in your steak, right? You want that crisp edge, but you don't want it to be dried out. So, hence the techniques you just described.
So would you prefer on in a pan sear or on a grill or outside on a – because I got to tell you, I think the world's best steak on a barbecue grill, but a lot of people prefer it done inside. But I like the smoky flavor.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your thoughts?
Oh, sure. It depends on two things, the setting and what equipment you have to work with, right? If you have a real, you know, high-end kick-butt broiler in your home kitchen, you want to broil it. You know, you want that super high temperature. You're probably not going to get the BTUs or the high temperatures that you get at a professional steakhouse or any of a commercial restaurant. But, you know, if that's something you have access to, broil away. But the way you just described it, out in the grill, that's great for, like, a different style of meat. Think about, like, carne asada, right? Think about the that marinated meat you've seen maybe at some of the Latin American grocery stores like Ideal or others that, pre-marinated fajita meat, that kind of thing. That put that on the grill, that's exactly where it's supposed to be. That doesn't ever need to hit a pan. You know, that wants to be out on the grill and just so enticing when you smell it cooking. And, you know, grilling season in New Orleans really, it doesn't line up with the American expectation. Like summertime is like, oh, burst out the grills, and everyone starts advertising the grills at the big stores and whatnot.
It's the worst time to do it here.
Really hot season. Yeah, we're thinking about salads and ceviche and shrimp remoulade and that kind of thing. But, you know, there still is something about it. There still is something that pulls you out to do those things and bear the heat. And the reward is that full experience, you know, smelling the steak cooking, getting the smoky flavor into it. So, you know, there's not one way, right? Because it's about the variety of things that are out there, what you have access to, what you're feeling, what the setting is, you know. If you want to, like, really drill in and nerd out on preparing the ultimate ribeye for yourself and your partner or whatever, that's great. If you've got 12 people over and the drinks are flowing, maybe around the grill is a better convivial atmosphere just to do it.
What's your favorite cut?
Ooh. Changes a lot, but if, you know, if you force me into a corner, it's probably the ribeye. Just because
gotta
I like
the
yeah, okay, your strip guy.
Got to go to New York strip. I will take a break, Ian.
Okay, I got one
go ahead.
More.
No, go ahead. Throw it in.
Spinalis. The Spinalis
Ooh,
steak.
I got to try one of those.
Specialty at Rizzuto's, which is also an Italian restaurant with a chop house attached to it. Really, really good. It's one of the places we talked about recently in our 10 new restaurants because they opened up a new location in Gretna. If you haven't tried the Spinalis, do it. It's this right alternating texture, really good flavor. So
right down the street
from
me.
Can't let the conversation end without that one.
Might try it this weekend. We'll take a break here, 504-260-1870. You know what I wanted to ask the audience is, if they're, and I saw your story about Young's Golden Dragon restaurant closing. If there has been a restaurant that you all have passed forever and you always wanted to try it, but you never did, let me know at 504-260-1870, and I'll pass it along to Ian McNulty. Mine is at Chinese restaurant, right as you get off of the UEP Long Bridge on Jefferson Highway. I have passed that thing 1,000 times. I've always wanted to go in and try it, but I don't know. Let me know if there's a place like that for you. Tommy Tucker, Ian McNulty, our guest, our friend who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Back with him and you in a flash here on WWL. Love talking to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Every Friday, he gets us in the mood to do some eating and some drinking. We've already talked about Greek Fest and about Ouzo and about steaks. And I was asking the audience for some restaurants that they've always passed and wanted to try but never, ever turned in. And I was talking about the Chinese restaurant that was on Jefferson Highway right as you get off the bridge. And apparently the name of it, I've never even noticed the name, is Oriental Triangle. And people are saying it really is good. Have you ever been there or tried it?
Oh, yeah, Tommy. It's, I see the name these days. It looks a little old-fashioned, right? And the restaurant itself looks a little old-fashioned. But that's the appeal. This is exactly right. Yeah, this is a Chinese restaurant that, like, whether you've been to this one or not, you've been to one like it at some point, like if from any point on from the 1960s, right? It's the huge menu, covers the waterfront. It's the inexpensive combination plate lunches and something that everybody can find something they like on this sprawling menu, lots of sauces and vegetables and meat dishes. But one thing I always think about when I drive by this place is that they still have rumaki. Do you remember rumaki?
Is that shrimp and bacon and pineapple?
It's an appetizer typically made with water chestnuts wrapped in bacon.
That's what it
is,
yes.
It's basically a throwback wrapped in bacon. it's one of these things that would be on the appetizer tray at a Chinese restaurant in the 70s, and it lives on here. It always reminds me of parties that my mom would throw at home. This would be one of the appetizers that she'd stick in the broiler and pass around, these little crisp water chestnuts wrapped in bacon. So anyway, that's I wouldn't call it the signature dish of Oriental Triangle, but it's one that always sticks in my mind when I go by it, because you never see that at restaurants anymore.
And that's what makes it so intriguing to me, is it looks as though, you know what, I'm going to step in a time machine here. I'm going back to the 70s and eating Chinese food. And I wouldn't be wrong in that presumption?
No, not at all. I mean, it's Chinese food, and of course, there's sort of a quasi Polynesian atmosphere to it. You know, I mean, this is not the Ballyhai, believe me, but it's sort of channeling the same that era, that kind of
escape. Now you're going way back.
We walk into the doors of a Chinese restaurant, and it's the exoticism. You know, it's like the one that does that the best these days is Trey Yun in Mandeville. Because of the splendor of the setting. I mean, this is like walking into this Chinese palace, right? And you're having noodles and Sichuan-style alligator and, you know, all the stuff that they do there. But the setting, I mean, you walk through these gardens, and it's just, as a child, you know, it was just going out to those. It was like going to a theme park, you know? I mean, it was so exciting. You get your Shirley Temple and, you know, get...
Watch a fish.
It didn't matter what you ate, right?
Watch a fish, right? Yeah. You know, on Friday, we're going to do Ian's Wayback Machine, and you talk about the Ballyhai. We're going to talk about some of those classic New Orleans restaurants that aren't there anymore, like Tipa Terry's and all of that. I remember one time, I don't know if I had Tiger, but they used to serve some pretty exotic things there. And it may have all been, you know, rump roast cut up. I have no earthly idea, but at least that's what they would tell you. Somebody texted in here, Ian, what about Wagyu beef? Do any restaurants serve it?
Oh, yeah. Some of the ones that we just talked about do. I know for a fact the place I mentioned, Piece of Meat, the butcher shop in Mid-City that converted to be a steakhouse at night. They still do like a lunch brunch menu during the day, more sandwiches and stuff. But at night, they'll have a couple steaks. And like their niche is just super high quality steaks. They're not going to have a huge menu. But the time I went there, I had a cut actually I'd never had before, which you will love. It's called the Denver Wagyu steak. It's the Wagyu style beef, a Denver cut. And it's very similar to a sirloin, but maybe a little more marbling, looks maybe a little more of that fat running through it. So, yeah, that's the appropriate response, Tommy.
And for people that don't know what Wagyu beef is, what is that?
It denotes the way that the cow was brought up. And, you know, not sent to finishing school or anything, but
in a way it is, Ian, quite frankly. They all go to finishing school, but not in the traditional sense.
Well, yeah, good point. It's you know, it's the style in which it was raised. It comes from the Japanese tradition, which, you know, if anybody can really just get down to what is precisely the best, most pristine thing about any one item of food, that comes through Japanese food culture for sure. Mm-hmm. Closely related to Kobe beef, which a lot of people have heard about. So that's that kind of idea. Typically,
so
very,
like,
very luxuriously marbled beef because of the way it's raised.
Do you think you could taste the difference if I were to give you a steak that was either Kobe, and I'm getting my Wagyu and my Kobe confused. One of the other, because I don't know if I'm pronouncing either correctly, and then just a plain old Midwest steak. Do you think you could tell the difference between the three?
Well, Kobe is going to be beef that actually comes from Japan, and Wagyu is more like the style of Kobe that you can find in places other that did not come from Japan, right? Typically, it's like the American Kobe, let's put it that way, if you're getting a steak.
I got you.
That's called Wagyu on a menu.
I'm here to learn. Look, tell me. Teach
your question,
me. Yeah.
No, to answer your question, I will take you up on that. I think we have to find out in person. I mean, I could bluff it and say yes, but I would love to do a vertical or horizontal, whichever direction we're going in this tasting of all those steaks next to each other.
But I can tell you what the restaurant owner is going to say. It's going to say, Ian, I understand what you're doing. You fat bastard, you're just eating three steaks. Get out.
I would expense it.
Somebody texted, who does fried speckled trout? Do you have any idea on this?
Lots of people. Let's see. Actually, just we had Mr. Ed's seafood and Italian restaurant in Bucktown was there not too long ago on my quest to find a Monday night restaurant that was open. That was a huge story for us this week. One of the dishes that we had there when we finally walked in and had dinner on a Monday night was their trout ponchatrain, which is pan fried and finished with mushrooms and green onion. They're really good. So always on the menu there.
Troy Duhon took me to a place in Gentilly, I think it is. I don't know if I could find it again near Chef Highway. It had some kind of, I hate to say Yugoslavian name. I don't remember what it is, but the food was delicious. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Give me a little more on that. Where is it?
Like in the Chef Highway area, maybe Gentilly, maybe New Orleans East. Some kind of Yugoslavian or something along those lines.
Oh, wait. It's coming to me. I think it's Vukanovich's, right?
That's it, exactly. Boy, great food there. And that's like people talk about not having a lot to eat in New Orleans East, and I don't know if that technically is New Orleans East, but I'd highly recommend that place. You?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, people who have been eating around Jazz Fest have been eating some of their food. They always have a stand out there, have for years. And it's one of those places that's near the Michu facility, that big industrial facility out there. So it does a lot of business with people coming out of there. Primarily a lunch place, but, you know, classic New Orleans restaurant. Not, the name is certainly Yugoslavian, but the cooking is New Orleans for sure.
And it's a New Orleans place, man. You can have a good time in it, I'll tell you that. And real quick, before we let you go, and by the way, I would encourage everybody, we didn't talk too much about it this week, but go to Ian McNulty, and you can NOLA.com, or you can just Google Ian McNulty, and you'll see the stories that he wrote about some brew pubs coming up, about a restaurant that's closing. Got a great story on there about Frank Brightson. And the pictures you take, Jordan and I were talking about this, are amazing. And this, you don't do any food preparation. You're not getting helm paint and painting this food up where it's not edible or anything. This is actually as it's served to you, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is as it comes, you know, on the table, over the hand or whatever. And Yeah, I just, you know, it's I have a true affection for this stuff. And so, you know, you take beautiful pictures of your family or your beloved pet. You know, I try to give the same attention to the food that these people prepare for us. And, you know, I want people to see it at its best.
But then you don't eat your family, do you, Ian?
No, it hasn't come to that.
Just checking. Real quick, veal. Good place to get veal.
Oh, go to Filippo's in Metairie. That's an Italian place that's kind of hidden. It's just off a causeway on, let me see, get this right, Ian, on the riverside of I-10, off of causeway. And it looks like a house. It looks like you go in a Nona's house, right?
It's kind of like on a triangle, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And it's deep Sicilian, and they have great veal dishes there.
Great restaurant. Great restaurant, too. Ian, I think you got my phone number, so call me when you're ready for that steak challenge, all right?
All right. I'm up for any challenge that involves eating and drinking and talking with you, Tommy. I love it.
Expense that, baby. Thank you. And people are texting in Vizinovich's, Michu and Chef Highway. That's exactly it. Thank you, Ian. God bless you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, sorry for the damage to that name there on the radio.
No. I did worse than you did, but it's good food, and it's a classic place. Got a real character running the place. Thank you, sir. Ian McNulty, go to NOLA.com. Find out more about his articles with food and dining culture. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.